Are you gay?
Geeky?
Just enjoy hearing your good Judy's dish about the latest in pop culture?
Well, then you're in luck.
The boys of Flame On are here for you.
In every episode, we discuss the topics that entrance us.
Whether it's comics, TV,
movies,
drag queens,
or video games,
we've got you covered.
So, if you're ready for your gay and geeky slice of pop culture life,
then sit back and get ready to
Flame On!
Hi, Gemini. The football transfer window's open. How are my team's stats looking?
Well, your team definitely has a lot of star power.
Do you think we're going to have a good season?
It's going to come down to consistency and a little bit of luck on your side.
I'll let you know if we win.
I'll be keeping an eye on the scores.
Yeah, me too.
Now we're talking. Transfer to Google Pixel 9 with Gemini Live today. Sequences shortened. Gemini Live available for ages 18+. Internet required. Results are illustrative. Check responses for accuracy. Feature and account compatibility limitations apply.
What's going on, everybody? Patrick Bear here. It is 2025, and we are back. We are here. We're talking. We are a group of queers with opinions. We're just going to rename the podcast to Queers with Opinions.
It might do better SEO-wise, honestly.
I don't know. We would just call it Everything's Burning Down Around Us, like Hope You're Okay.
Maybe we could put the hope you're okay in parentheses, maybe. Like, that could be a,
I like that.
That's just the tagline for it. Yeah.
Are you okay? No? Okay. Listen to this podcast.
The answer is no. Exactly. Exactly.
You might feel better or you... Oh, no, that's it. That's the other podcast we need to do. It might make you feel better or worse.
That's our new tagline. Flame on. It might make you feel better. Or worse. Oh, goodness. Well, we are back. Dear listeners, it is our first real episode of 2025. I put out a what ended up being a longer little announcement episode a couple of weeks ago, longer than I anticipated it being, and a little emotional, it felt like. I finished recording that and, you know, got ready to upload it and was like, wow. It's going to be the first time, I think, in I've been on the show for almost 13 years now, that we're reducing the number of episodes. Like, we've always kept a pretty consistent schedule, or in the case of All-Star 7 season, we added a weekly review to our already double episode month. So it felt weird to be like, hey, we are going to cut back on our content production. As content creators, God, I just feel icky just saying that. Like, I know it's a thing, but this has never felt like that for me, at least.
I mean, it was so weird. It makes me feel younger.
You know what's funny though? Like, we say content creator, and it's like, oh, YouTubers and Instagram people, like people that are putting stuff out on social media content. My porn-addled brain instantly thinks of OnlyFans, Just for Fans, that kind of content creator. I've curated a very specific blue sky.
I thought you said porn-addled brain, not porn-addled brain. I like how the first time in my fucking life, I just reset something to be cleaner than it actually was, and I don't know what this timeline is anymore.
Yeah. Yeah, I get that. No, and it both, I think, apply in my case right now. It really just feels like just an addled brain. But you've heard most of the voices of the cast of characters. We've got our whole crew here. Joining me, we've got BJ.
Hi.
We've got Brian.
Hello.
And we've got Eric.
Hello.
Eric, who said, fuck my drag, when I just showed up in Florida and was like, hey, what are you up to, girl? And She's like, I am in another state, not where you are. And I was like,
Minnesota.
Damn. I know you were closer to where I live than where I was.
She does that. I think one of the times I went down, I was like, hey, Eric, let's go do something. And he's like, I'm in another country. And I was like,
I'm in Iceland right now. Sorry.
I was like, how, like the hand to the chest being like, how dare he? Like, how dare he go do something? Like, nobody else goes anywhere or does anything if I'm not there. So,
I know, right? That was me in Florida. I was like, Eric will have to be here. This Eric, you know, it's not like Eric travels for Kirby or anything.
Eric's like, I'm not here. Huh. How dare you?
She's like, yes. I am befuddled and flabbergasted right now.
Never in my days.
I'm sorry I forgot to ask your permission before traveling.
You're forgiven this time. Next time I won't be so nice about it.
Don't joke. We're probably, like, I'm very scared we're going to go to Soviet papers soon. So you're going to have your red papers to go to certain parts of the country. So,
Lord in heaven. Yeah.
Let's break out the witch bones and the hex spells and whatever you can sell your soul to. I just need to get through this year.
This year, Jesus. I'm nervous about the next
I'm
10 to 20 years. You're being optimistic. I'm being pessimistic. I don't know. Anyway, it is our first new episode of the year. If you did not have a chance to listen to the announcement episode that comes before this in the feed, we are going to one episode a month. So rather than what we've been doing for the last, oh God, I don't even know how many years at this point, of a microsode early in the month, followed by a roundup episode where we each pick a topic and, you know, bring it to the table, the figurative round table of our discussion, and then chat about it. We are switching to one single episode, and we're just going to have a lively discussion about a couple of different topics. We'll see where it goes. We'll have non sequiturs. We'll have tangents. Brian has been chomping at the bit for this day for Lord knows how long, where he would be able to just, you know, have a random conversation about something else in the middle of somebody else's topic. Plus, this way Brian doesn't steal anybody's topics for future episodes.
Oh my goodness. Happens one time.
He enjoys it too much, everybody.
Yes, I am the great white devil.
You got silly things. Drunk and don't remember recording an entire episode, and we still, you know, that happened once, and we don't let you live that down either.
That's true. That you shouldn't. That was epic. Yes, I am excited.
I swear he still doesn't remember that episode and has not listened to it.
I don't remember the details of what we said. Like, I know it had something to do with Luke Cage. I guess that's about all I can remember about that.
It was our Iron Fist episode, I think.
So Luke Cage was involved somehow. But
I thought it was Luke Cage. No, because Ron was there. It was somewhere in the Marvel Netflix world.
See, at least it's not just me that can't remember it, and I wasn't the only one who had been drinking.
Well, no, because we did that advertisement for that dude. We did a whole advertisement episode.
That was John Hex Carter, who I need to reconnect with. I have not heard from that individual in forever, but that was his D&D drinking set, where you would roll by how much liquor you could consume. And let me tell you, I can consume a lot of liquor.
Nat 20s all around, baby.
Yeah, I just came back from a trip to Spain where I drank way too much sherry. And then I was in Florida where I drank not a lot, actually. Florida's pretty dry. But yeah.
Speaking of people coming to Orlando and asking about me, Brian comes to Orlando and I'm here and he doesn't ask to see me.
Oh, there it is. There it is.
It's true. I normally announce my presence when I come back to an area like Orlando that I have lived or I have lots of friends. This time it was so stealthy. I knew as soon as I did anything that denoted I was there, I would have people saying that. And I I failed, but it's okay because Florida was it was cold.
Yeah, honestly, I didn't even know until I saw the picture, the wedding pictures pop up. Yeah. On Facebook.
Oh, and he was there for a wedding. Oh, that's yeah. like if you're there for there. Work, you can be like, I was tied up in meetings the whole time, but he was there for
I
a
have
fun event.
Way more time.
You could have
plus one. I have no. I had a plus one. I have way more time in Orlando when I am there for work than I do for a wedding. Weddings are a nightmare, and I was in this wedding. So all I'm saying is, I'm sorry, Orlando. You will get a piece of me in the very near future. So, Eric, you are as always on the top of my list to see.
It's BJ, not the I don't know what to tell time. You. That's,
if I went nice to Atlanta, wow! If I was in Atlanta, I would probably have BJ at the top of my list too. And Pat, of course, is on the top of my list for Chicago. So there you go. It always is that way. What do you want? What do you want from me?
I visited Pat the last time I was in Chicago, and I didn't even visit my own aunt. And she found out, too. So she was very much like, why were you there for 4 days? And I'm like, Leslie, I can't tell you anything. nothing I can share with family. And she's like, was it like that? And I'm like, yeah, it's absolutely like that.
Oh, one of those trips.
Yeah, I was there for a
month. I was going to say,
yeah.
Yeah, aside from that, for like coming for an event like that, I'm at the top of most people's list when they visit because I have a place to stay, which I'm fine with. I, you know, I'm like, I've got a couch.
You have a couch in the city. I mean, that is a several hundred dollar value right there.
Listen, I know. That's why usually when people stay with me, they treat me to some drinks or whatever. Like when Eric came up and visited, we went to the ice cream museum. It was a lot of fun.
There's an ice cream museum? What?
Yeah. What?
Yes.
I didn't know about that.
The Museum of Ice Cream. It's one of like five or six locations. New York has one. We have one here in Chicago. I think there might be one in
I think there's one
Asia?
In Japan.
I had hot dog flavored ice cream.
Oh my God.
And it wasn't bad.
And
meaty, salty, sweet.
They serve it. So the ice cream is hot dog flavored, and then they serve it as a Chicago dog. So it's served in a bun with relish and all of that. Yeah.
Oh, now you're talking my language here. Yes.
That is unholy. That is, I hate Chicago style hot dogs.
Oh, you're so wrong.
On the planet.
You're disgusting. Wrong. Oh.
A hot dog should not have fresh vegetables on it. That is
absolutely
verboten.
How dare it be healthier than it, you know, otherwise?
Yeah, how dare it? It's a hot dog. It's lips and assholes covered in salt and processed.
I like my lips and assholes with vegetables, damn it.
Well, you're vegan, so.
Oh, yeah. Part-time vegan, for sure.
Lord. But if you ever do get to the Museum of Ice Cream, it's unlimited ice cream samples. So if you love the Chicago dog ice cream, you can go back and get as many as you want.
Wow.
But
so creamy.
And they do have vegan options at each taste test station. So.
I'm excited. You had me at Chicago style hot dog or ice cream. I don't know. Now that I know it exists, I want to go. Next time I'm in Chicago.
I like how a hot dog ice cream, I'm like, and then the moment he's like, Chicago-style hot dog ice cream, I'm like,
Because Chicago-style elevates the otherwise disgusting thing that is a hot dog. So I'm interested.
You don't have to get it as a Chicago dog-style, like, serving, BJ. I tried it the first time I went, and I got it as just the ice cream on the bun, and It was not for me. I chose the other option at that station because there's like sometimes a sherbet or a sorbet. There's vegan options, dairy-free options at some of the stations. But yeah, it's a cute little setup. That was my second time going with Eric when he was up here. But yeah, it's definitely cute. We didn't go in the sprinkle pool though. That's the only thing we didn't do. We went on the weekend. Exactly.
Sprinkle pool.
Sprinkles out of my pubic hair for like a month.
Are you gonna go in naked? Is that what you're planning?
No, well, but it's like,
and it's like a bucket. It's not actual sprinkles.
Oh, okay. But like, no, they're made of sugar. They're gonna get stuck to you. They're gonna get down your shirt. They're gonna get all in there. Like you're.
No, just think of a ball pit, a giant ball pit, but with sprinkle-shaped balls.
Okay.
Okay. I was gonna say because if that was, I thought it was actual sprinkles. I would say what you do is you take a little bit of water and you put it on yourself. You jump in and then you go to Steamworks.
Oh my god! Oh my god! Can I tell you something about Steamworks? I know we're just completely off in the random. Like this is exactly what I want. So I went to the Steamworks in Seattle, and there is nary a bit of steam there whatsoever.
No. No, Justin and I talked about this when I was there. So
there's not a steam room.
Nope.
No. So there. Okay. So I actually know a little bit about this, not the full details, because my friend Justin, who I stayed with for like the last night, because I screwed up my flights and ended up coming home a day early. He mentioned like when we were trying to figure out where to go while I was in Seattle, he mentioned Steamworks and that there is no steam. I heard years ago the story about this. Steamworks, I guess there were two owners, and they had a falling out and essentially split the company.
Oh.
Split, and there's two, it's Steamworks, both Steamworks, but there's like one division of Steamworks that has steam, which is like the Chicago one here. I think Toronto has steam, and then there is a like the other owner, and it's like all dry. It's dry Steamworks, so there is no steam, like steam rooms or anything like that at those locations. It is the most bizarre thing in the world.
That's but, so wild.
Yeah,
I wonder. I think it's
got steam in the breakup.
It's supposed to be.
Yeah.
It's supposed to be, I didn't think it's next to it. And so when you say split, they didn't like go split the facilities down the middle. They kind of split the chains.
So like, I guess it's like one got these locations, one got these locations or whatever it is. And like BJ said, yeah, apparently one of them got steam in the divorce. I don't know. It's like a property that they were able to get.
There is a Club Z in Seattle, and evidently it is not far, if maybe it's adjacent. And it actually does have a steam room. And someone had told me about it, but they kind of made it sound like it was a little, you know. And the reason I went in the first place is because there's a new bar here called The Bath. No, The Wash. Sorry. And they have an event called Bathhouse Disco that basically partnered with Steamworks and got like some kind of discount rate on lockers. So the funny story is when I went there and they had no idea what the hell I was talking about. They're like, we don't know what you're talking about. No one has told us anything. And I'm sitting there like, well, okay. And then my friend's like, hold on. I know the party organizer. The dude rolls up, a person, I don't know their pronouns, long hair, assless jean chaps, like an assless jean overalls kind of, and on a scooter, on like a Lime scooter, he scoots up. He's like, girl, we got this. Runs in, comes out, and they've got free passes, like free rooms. They got all this stuff, and it was like, here you go, honey. Problem solved. It was surreal. It was an amazing, weird evening.
The bathhouse fairy. I love it.
It's yes, like the bathhouse fairy, honestly.
he came in on his Lime scooter and was like, I'm here to save your evening.
But you just got a picture flowing long black hair in assless jean overalls scooting up to the bathhouse. It was like the most magical moment I've had in Seattle in so long. I just... and then of course my car got stuck in a lot and I had to like take the train the next day to get it. And it was a whole nightmare after that. But that part was magical and the bathhouse disco part was fun too. So all I'm saying is, you know, it's a great party.
I almost feel like this needs to be an episode of something where you go, it's like a sitcom and you go to the bar to be like, hey, is there something about half price lockers? And you spend the whole evening and everybody is looking at you like, what are you talking about? You pervert. And And then you leave the bar by yourself, and then all of a sudden this little, like, the bathhouse fairy comes scooting in and is like, here you go. But nobody else saw them, so then the rest of the episode, like, everybody just thinks you're crazy and, like, got drunk or something.
I feel like this could have happened on an episode of Queer as Folk. And
right?
I feel like this could have happened. What's that animated spy, gay spy series? I feel like it could have happened on that.
Oh, Q-Force?
Oh, yeah.
Q-Force. I feel like it's
so sad that it didn't get a second season.
Oh, my God. I wish it had. It's so funny. Especially when the finale was in Palm Springs. Like...
I can't. I did get to wear my Lumberyard shirt while I was in Orlando, though.
Oh, you got a Lumberyard shirt?
Yeah, I got the one that says, it's like, day drink, gay drink, just drink, with the Lumberyard logo on the front. Yeah, one of the... What's that?
No. So you went and did you enter into the Bear Social?
Yeah, that's why I went. Because when I was there, it was a Bear Social weekend. So I screwed up my flight and ended up having to come home a day earlier. I thought I booked it for Monday overnight into Tuesday, and instead booked it for Sunday night overnight into Monday. But I wasn't going to let that stop me from having fun on my Sunday fun day in Seattle. So Justin and I were out most of the night on Saturday, and then got up, got breakfast, and then went and proceeded to get quite a bit tipsy at Sunday Social, and then I flew home that night. So
no, I mean, I have literally taken people to the Lumberyard on the Sunday because they're flying out like the red eye flight. It is so close to the airport, relatively, because on the south side of the city.
And then back.
Oh gosh, but like no, you can get it's the closest I have found to what we had in Orlando with Bears in the City and to what I experienced up in DC with Town, in that it is like this lovely big bear sort of social with the beer pitcher, you know, whatever's, and other drink specials, and everyone's been super nice there, and the organizers are super fun and friendly. So I'm glad you got to experience our basically our only bear thing here in Seattle, other than Diesel, which I think is completely overrated. Good. Lumberyard's beautiful.
Friday night. My Friday night was just meant the Diesel.
Diesel just like, isn't, I don't know. Not my favorite bar. I cannot put a finger on it.
Yeah, I can see that. It got very no regard for personal space while we were there. Yeah. And that was the only part where I was like, that's a little too much. We were going to go and check out the Eagle because I have a penchant for checking out the Eagle or going to the Eagle wherever I'm at. Like I went to the one in Denver, got to the door. There was a cover, but I could see inside and there were like five people. And I said, hey, I was at least at the Eagle. Got to go. Bye. And then went to other bars instead. But
you check in on Pokemon Go.
Right? Exactly. Just spin the Pokestop at the Eagle and I'm good. I got to get a gift from each Eagle and be done with it. I haven't played Pokemon Go in like a year and a half at this point. I put too much time and money into that to just not play it ever again, but maybe one day. We ended up not going to the Eagle. That's where the conversation about Steamworks came up, because I think Steamworks is not far from
they're all kind of in that Seattle. Same area. Yeah, it's down by the Reserve, Starbucks fancy three-story wine bar, whatever thing. No, the Eagle here is very mixed. I don't mean like mixed crowd. I mean just mixed in terms of if it's not an event night, don't bother. There's also some just sketch stuff that I've seen there, and I don't mean sexually. I mean like drugs. So yeah, the Eagle here is it's not great. So. No, the Pony and the Diesel to some extent, and like now the Wash and Lumberyard, those are all my favorite bars here. And
is it the Pink Pony?
It is not the Pink Pony Club. And if you said that in there, I think they'd shiv you, because it's very much queer punk, and I don't mean punk like punk. I mean like they'll shiv you. Because
punk is in fuck you. Yeah.
Yeah. And unfortunately, Chapel Roan, I'm not saying she is, you know, bad in any way, shape, or form, but not, I would dare say, not punk. so much. So yeah, no, but the pony is really fun, and they're actually lovely people. They would not shiv you. I'm just kidding. They would love you.
You heard that here, ladies and gentlemen.
We've never seen
Brian said they'll shiv you.
We received a legal document saying that we're being sued for malicious slander by the owners. All right, so real quick, before we dive into any topics or any of our like main discussion points for this episode, Luke, friend of the pod, listener, one of my the person who vents to me about Drag Race, and I vent to him about General Hospital at this point because it's the only one of my stories still on the air. He sent a message, and I was staying off of all Meta products for a week, which was good and bad for my mental health because I was like, I didn't realize how many people I talked to on Instagram. And Messenger and Instagram will probably be the only Meta products that I incorporate back into my my daily routine, because that's how I keep up with most people that I don't text regularly. But Brian, Luke messaged and had a question, and I figured rather than respond to him, I would just ask you on this episode, and you can then provide your answer, and he'll be able to hear it when this episode comes out later this week. But he wanted to know if you have watched Shogun, because of your love of Japan. He wanted to know if you'd seen it and hear some thoughts about it.
So I have watched the first episode, and I loved pretty much everything I saw. It was very refreshing to have a Western focused, or not focused, but a show that was principally for a Western audience, most like 99% in Japanese. And I don't just mean regular Japanese. I mean Japanese that was spoken in that era, which is a very different language.
It's imperial dialect, right?
Yeah, that sounds right. So like, great show, high budget, great acting. I just didn't keep up with it because of whatever was going on in my life at the time, which happens. Case in point, I started watching the show Monarch, which is about the Godzilla stuff, years ago when it first came out, and then stopped. And now I'm going back to it and going, wow, I like this. This is fun. So Shogun's in that list. I need to go back and finish it. But yeah, no, everything I saw, it was really cool because I think I went to Osaka right after it had started coming out. And so there was like a shot in the ancient's a dumb word. What was it, like 1700 kind of era, 17th century Osaka, and they have the castle and they're set around there. And then I actually went to the modern day recreation of Osaka Castle, which is not the same building because they leveled it to the ground or something and then they rebuilt it. But point is, it's really cool. I'm glad it's out there. I need to watch it. And thank you for asking. That was very thoughtful to ask about that.
I'm sure he will appreciate those thoughts and comments, and then you can get ready because I have to bitch and moan to somebody about how much I can't stand Drew on General Hospital. So get ready, Luke. I'll message you this weekend. just give you the heads up. But was it better or worse than the Wild West 10 Rings What If episode from season 3? No.
I didn't see any of the What If for season 3. Is it bad?
It's fine.
So my quick thoughts on it are pretty much, What If is fantastic when it's an actual serial and every episode's different. It's at its worst when Captain Carter shows up constantly. So
yeah, I'm mad that they made it not an anthology, and made it an anthology, but American Horror Story season 9 era, or Black Mirror season 4 era, where they were like, oh no, these can all be intertwined, let's do that, and just continue to run with it. But seeing Storm as the Goddess of Thunder was phenomenal for like the hot second at the end.
That was a fucking carrot. That was just episodes. I'm like, you motherfucking, she was in like the last episode. I'm like, you motherfuckers, like, oh, you're tricking me with the black woman now. I see how it is, Disney. I see you. Oh,
you love X-Men? You love Storm? Oh, we're going to tell you she's in this. And she's only in maybe 20 minutes of the entire season.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, Peggy Carter centric, and then season 3 being very Birdie centric was very odd. But overall, I mean, it wasn't, I don't think it was a bad season. Not as good as some of the other, like the one of, I think season 1 probably still the best of the three, but hey. I just, when we were talking about Japan and Wild West, I was like, what if 1884 or something like that? And it's like Kate Bishop, Hawkeye, and Shang-Chi as the Ten Rings. It just jogged my memory for that. But speaking of Luke, and one of the things that the first message he sent me, I wanted to do them backwards, is after he listened to the episode, the announcement episode, you know, last episode, he was like, I was going to yell at you, need to talk more Drag Race. And then I mentioned the fact that he likes when we talk Drag Race on the podcast, and we have a new season. So I want to hear thoughts. Brian, when you were saying ancient times in, 1700s and how that's not really ancient, I was like, oh, that's like when they call Lexi grandma and she's only 33 years old. And it's like,
oh my God, right?
When Acacia said the olden times to Rue about the 80s.
What child said this sin?
Oh, Acacia forgot is very much, Acacia forgot in their confessionals to me looks like the standard bully from any 80s teen movie. Yeah. And their drag is just basically like Dolly Parton 9 to 5. And
it's like the very gayest of the Lost Boys.
Oh my God. That mullet. That seriously, that mullet. But literally, it looked like any character from Lost Boys. I mean, literally, it's the mullet. But take the mullet away. And remember the moment when she turned and had her little, like, whatever jock kind of white makeup thing that was. Yeah, and then she had her little furry ass hanging out. That redeemed her. I don't think I like her. Like, she's fine. She's not like, I don't hate her. But that moment, I was in love. That was
see, nice. You say 80s bully, and all I can think about is Biff from Back to the Future. So I'm just thinking about a gay Biff from Back to the Future.
I mean, not far off. Is it accurate? Not far off.
Oh, what was somebody disqualified from this season?
No.
Okay.
No.
Like what? The internet
lied to me.
You might be hearing about another RuPaul Drag Race because there's a million Drag Races now.
I was going to say.
Yeah, it's probably that. So we're all caught up, I think, because I just watch the fourth episode, or are we on the fifth?
Fifth is coming out this Friday.
Okay, so good. So I am caught up. Two queens have gone home. Yes. Yeah. I'm surprised. I had to catch up very fast because I was out of the country, and it was mainlining of all of them back to back. So they're all still a little blurry in my head. All the queens, like if you say their name, I might go and I'll look them up. But yeah, I am caught up. So good. We can discuss.
Okay. Very good. Initial thoughts, Eric, what are your thoughts on this cast? Who are you rooting for?
I think it's a pretty solid season. I like the feel of just about everything except for this year's, It's Chocolate. I never thought I would want It's Chocolate to be back more than the whole Badonkadonk tank is the most just, I can't think of the word I want to use, but it's
overly complex, unnecessarily ridiculous. Like what else we got?
I mean, it's obvious that this production is heavy-handed. Yeah, it's overproduction, but I do appreciate that. Okay, Las Vegas wants to sponsor them and is giving all the girls a trip to Vegas.
Yeah,
you lose your dream competition, but go to Vegas instead.
Yeah,
yeah, and make sure you buy a ticket for RPDR Live.
I was gonna say there's a permanent RuPaul Drag Race installation there.
Yeah.
Yes.
That's a really interesting way of eating your own tail right there. You're just kind of recycling, kind of pooping back and forth right there.
There's so much incestuousness among all those businesses, the Voss production group, Fenton Bailey, and what's his all them. It's just it's gross. It's a little gross.
Hey, run your hustle.
Now I say that. Yeah, I mean, get their coin, but I will say, you know, RPDR Live did just welcome our dear friend Ginger Minge back as a host. So we're not completely bagging on that.
Who? And Kylie Sonique.
And Kylie. Oh, of course. No, that's lovely.
Kylie's making her debut in the show.
I had in my head she had already done it, but yeah, I guess not. You're right.
If you want a human centipede your business, then like that's your business. Like,
yeah.
Just have it keep going.
But Eric, I completely agree. The freaking, is it chocolate? Like I do long for those days of simplicity.
Long for the days when they just go the fuck home and it's done.
Or that. I mean, because like work backwards. Like, okay, did they start with this idea that they needed a last chance thing? Okay, well, what are we going to do for it? Oh, I know. Michelle really wants to be in a swimsuit every episode. So, and she loves like the idea of getting like wet. And is that like a thing? I mean, like, how do you work? Where do you start? I misinterpreted her
wanting to get wet while at work.
Yeah. Right.
Who doesn't want to get wet?
I don't understand it. It's so unnecessary and it's stupid. And like you said, Pat, it's production heavy and that production can basically use that to do whatever the hell they want.
You knew that whoever was going to be the first person, the second they said, oh, two of these levers are going to save you. I mean, yes, there's reasons why specifically they would have saved her Mona Lisa from going home first. But they would have saved whoever was going to be the first one going home. Because the past couple seasons, they haven't had anybody go home first because they know that the fan. There's just so much money that these queens spend on their runway packages. It's they want to try to give them more.
They have an episode count. Yeah.
Yeah.
But they also have an episode count that they have to deliver. And if you only have, we have less queens this year. You know that it's not going to, but I'm curious if they're telling the girls which lever to do, because if the other one is one, which is now like the it's one and levers seven are
connected
because
it's to anything. It doesn't matter which.
Yeah, I don't think they are.
No, but if they're doing the whole one and seven for like 17, they would then be like, oh, pull this lever. Like you're there to play the game,
right?
Like you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Not leaving it up to chance. They're not going to let it be whatever. If it's not one and it is just another random number, then it's because of the queen that is in the bottom. They don't want to go home. They weren't going to send anybody home. They definitely weren't sending Mona Lisa home because the whole cast fucking hates her right from the get-go.
I don't understand that. And she was,
quote-unquote, hand-picked by RuPaul. So
is that why?
To have that queen go home first.
Oh.
Like, why?
I think that would be hilarious.
I just didn't pick up the dynamic on why they hate her. Is she just kind of aloof? Is she saying weird shit? Like, what is it?
She walked in and was like, I'm picked by RuPaul.
Yeah. Okay, so it is just from that. Okay.
Yeah.
Because I like her. I think she's got an interesting look and she's got an interesting sound. And I love her. What's the character from the Pixar film?
Sadness.
I love her sadness drag. I loved seeing that all over DragCon or whatever they were shooting that. I don't know. I have not understood why they didn't like her other than the she said, oh, I'm handpicked by RuPaul, which is true. And why wouldn't you tell the audience that? I mean, come on. That's pretty cool. It's a great story, you know? So I don't know.
But when everybody else is potentially applied year after year for multiple years, and then you're just like, I was handpicked by RuPaul Charles. Yeah. You can't vote me low because then you're going against what RuPaul Charles wants. Oh no! Oh, fuck yes. You get.
She actually says
yes.
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 Yeah. I don't think you should out yourself as the nepotism hire. I really.
I fell asleep.
Exactly.
There's a lot of drag race that I fall asleep for. Like
seven. Seven, yeah. Seven, seven.
All right. That's
when good. They when RuPaul dropped off that dossier, she should not have been surprised that everybody was like, fuck that hoe.
Yeah. Well, I mean, she earned those sevens.
Yeah, she didn't have a great performance either. I mean, admittedly, she did not deliver the goods. So
I miss that part.
What?
Oh no, I was in Florida at that point and because of delays, I was having Yamasan during the beginning of the episode, so I missed most of the. I know Yamasan is amazing, but we got to Savoy halfway through. We got there in time to see Lexi Love roller skate her cooch all over the stage. Mm-hmm. So, like, I got to see the best part of the talent show for sure. But I have not gone back and watched. But I've listened to Race Chaser and. Sibling Watchery talk about it. I'm like, okay, I don't need to go back and really watch it myself, so I'm fine with that. So I know it's deserved, but yeah, but I can understand why they don't want her there.
Okay, Eric, who's your favorite then so far?
I would probably have to say overall Susie Toot, which isn't really a surprising pick for me. I do really, really enjoy Lexi Love a lot. Mm-hmm. Crystal Envy is growing on me, especially after this last episode. And the whole tumbleweed Crystal? Thing. Love Crystal all the time.
I love Crystal.
And then Arietti, I enjoy.
Arietti is so nice. I do really... I mean, she's a hometown queen, but I'm rooting for her because I think I like her. She's given me a little Dawn and a little Irene and a little other stuff. It's just unique.
And it was just so frustrating that Michelle gave her, I don't like alt drag, paint regular face.
Fuck Michelle Visage. Hey. Fuck her. She has zero right to give the opinions she is giving. She is a fucking cunt who really needs to stop offering up bad notes, because that is a bad note. 1000% unnecessary and wrong. You know, just because they don't paint exactly like your little narrow fucking mind determines someone should paint does not mean that they are wrong. Now, can they broaden their approach? Can they mix other things in? Say it like that. Like, don't just go, you've got so much white on your nose. Oh my God, I just want to throat punch her through the TV when she said that.
Now, I didn't quite feel that strongly about it, but
I do.
I don't think I've ever heard you say the C word before, and that was
really
almost like a very. I've never heard you say the C word.
The C bomb is a. Listen, I love women. Women are amazing. I respect women. But if you earn the C-bomb, you've done something wrong. And Michelle, you've done something wrong. You have disgraced your presence on that show. You have said dumb shit before, and it's been whatever. Your whole thing about green is... But it's like her whole thing about green. Okay, great. You don't like green. Fucking shut up about it. Does not matter. Has no relevance in an art critique competition show. No relevance. Keep it to yourself. Anyway, sorry. I know why Well, she's there because she's RuPaul's BFF, and she's got like, you know, some little teeny art credential because she was in that stupid band for like what, one hit back in the 80s, right?
Soundtrack. First off, they were on the top selling soundtrack of all time, track 9, Bodyguard soundtrack. Don't discredit the seduction like that. She also comes from the ballroom scene. Like, she has some. I do get what you're saying. I do think that this is so a slightly different take on that. You should be able to do your look. The thing that they look for is versatility. Every season, just like a sewing challenge, if you have a specific thing that you do, if you look like you've just come out of the screen from one of the Avatar films, they're going to tell you that maybe you should not look like one of the Na'vi every single time for every single challenge. Prepare for that. And there, I wish he would have said that in the first week, because the second week or third week, Arrietty really slimmed that down, and it looked less like her traditional, and looked a little bit more of your standard drag makeup. So to then get this critique after that, like, it just felt weird and out of place. Like, yeah, Michelle was just holding on to this to say it.
And I think it was just a little extra rough because after she had given Arrietty that critique, then she came back and rubbed her nose in it more when it came time to critique Susie too. And she was like, see, somebody else can change up their makeup that I hated and make it look pretty for me. So why don't you do it?
And then you're right. And that, I think, was insulting.
Everybody hates Susie Toot's little
production turned around and said, and now pan the camera over to Arrietty. Yeah. They said, we're driving this home today.
I think they had to pick a bottom two. I think, Arrietty was safe. That's right. So yeah. I was worried, though, because of the way their critiques were sort of aiming for her.
No, but because Arietty's look was definitely not bad enough compared to the two that were the bottom.
Yeah. Here. Oh, yeah. Like, oh, Corey just. Yeah. No, I really. King. You do?
I'm worried for her. I do. I really like Corey. She is the narrator of this season.
I like personality, yeah. But her drag has not been up to snuff.
Yeah. No, I get that. I get that. She has the personality, though, and has been one of the main narrators of this season, which is why I'm like, oh, they're going to keep Corey for a while. And the last 2 weeks, I'm like, oh, maybe they won't keep Corey for a while. But I'm hoping that she, like, has a rebound after this and is like, I need to get my shit together.
I'm fine if Jewel Sparkles just becomes the full-time narrator of the season.
I like Jules. I don't know that she needs to be the full-time narrator. She's a little too bubbly, a little too happy, a little too, you know, I don't know.
Put Miracle-Gro on Georges, and
oh my God, right? What about our poor old Joella, who I will say there's been a lot of plus size queens that don't make it very far. And we haven't had a good like plus size queen that's made it as far as like, you know, I guess what would be who's the last one? I can Ginger. See her in picture. No, but since Ginger, we've had a few.
Eureka.
Since Eureka. Who am I thinking of?
Mistress.
Well, Mistress is most recent, yeah.
Ginger and All-Star 6 would have been that, but then Mistress was after All-Star 6, so yeah.
So anyway, I mean, so I wanted Joelle to go further. I obviously understand the reasons she was in the bottom for that outfit and her performance or whatever, but that lipstick...
Queen of Los Angeles...
I was shocked, though, that an L.A. queen, who you'd think L.A. like really hones them to be TV ready or production ready or whatever, like that wouldn't go as far. And the fact that she kept that damn thing on as far as she did for a reveal, I was like, girl, get that thing off.
Because RuPaul was in it.
She didn't know the lyrics to the song. Wow.
RuPaul was lip syncing the male part. That's what she was doing. She turned around. So RuPaul was doing the male part, and then she turned around.
Because she doesn't know the male. She didn't know that part. Like, which, because doesn't it come back later? I don't think she knew
most of the Pussycat Doll words either. Yeah. Snoop has the intro rap and then a middle rap.
Yeah. That was rough. I mean, they telegraphed that pretty readily that she didn't know that. So I'm not defending it. She went home, but I'm like, girl, get that thing off. Get off. Like, everyone else changes if they have an unwieldy outfit, but I guess you're right. That's probably what she was trying to go for.
I don't think they can change on a regular season. They lip sync in what they go on the runway on. Oh. Alaska was the one who started that on All Stars.
Lexi was able to change out of her skates into shoes for her lip sync.
Yes.
But
that's also a safety concern.
But they really don't let them change.
I thought, I guess I'm mixing up All Stars and regular season. Yeah. But okay.
Yeah, and that was Alaska that started that because one of the runways she was wearing in All Stars wasn't conducive.
Well, no, it was Katya because she wasn't going to be able to lip sync in her rubber out in her latex outfit.
I think it was even before that, Eric. I think it was like one of the first lip syncs Alaska changed. Because I think she talked about it on one of the race chasers. I'll just go back and look. I mean, All Stars 2 is a good watch anyway, so I won't be bad to go back and and do some fact checking on that. But Brian, who are you pulling for? I mean, obviously Arrietty is your hometown queen.
I like Arrietty. I definitely would have her in the top. I like Susie Toot a lot. I do agree that her drag, there's something with her construction of her face. It's not just the lips. There's something that it's bothering me a little bit, but I would never say it's bad because it's interesting and different. And I just love her attention to history I love her in general. Bad. What?
He's saying it's bad. I said he's saying it's bad. It's probably the downturn.
I mean, I think that's what it is. I think Willem even kind of like danced around like what it was, and that's probably it. But either way, I definitely am rooting for her because, of course, she does something interesting and new. And how very dare she try to do that? I like Anya Nerve. She's kind of got something I kind of like. I'd like to see her go further. I do not like Corey King. I do not like Lydia. I like Lucky Stars. What?
It's a leave meeting.
Oh,
you don't like Lydia? Like, I mean, I don't dislike her. I don't like her. She just hasn't had any sort of effect on me.
No, I guess that's what I'm saying. I'm separating out the ones that I've noticed and I'm rooting for and the rest. And honestly, the only one that's earned my ire, and not even ire, but the one that I just
do. Is Michelle Visage.
Michelle Visage. No, I do not like Lana Jarrett. Is a softer, less bitchy version of her drag mother.
Her mom, Lux Noir London.
Yeah, Lux. Yeah, I do not. I never liked Lux. I don't not like Lana, but I don't love her yet. Corey, I think I just she's got the burger stink of burger finger stink of her drag mother sister, whatever Jane is playing is. So I think by association, I'm not a fan of Corey King.
Burger finger stink.
Yeah, because that's the Plain Jane's big song was Burger Finger. And anyway, it was stupid. Anyway, Jewel Sparkle's amazing. I do love Jewels. I'm going to root for the Florida Queens almost as a rule, unless they piss me off. So Jewels has definitely got that. I love Hormona Lisa. I want to see her go far, but I understand she's pissed off a lot of people, so I'm not holding my breath there. I don't know. All that. Crystal's fine. Arrietty, we talked about. Yeah. Oh, and Acacia. I just want to see her ass some more. I do think Acacia's interesting. I really would like to see more of not just her ass, but I would like to see more of her music, because anytime a queen is going to get up and sing or perform an instrument, obviously you got me there too. So I just think she's not going to make it very, very far unless she's got the Jinx meteoric rise out of her baby drag version. I just don't see that happening anymore. I don't think in this era of drag race, in late stage drag race, can I call it that at this point? Late stage drag race. I just don't think there's room for that kind of arc anymore. Like, queens that are not ready are going to sink, and the queens that are ready are going to rise more, you know? So, yeah.
All right, though.
Quote me, late stage drag race. We're starting that. It's a hashtag. Hashtag, do it. That's still a thing?
Lord. Sure. Somewhere, I'm sure it is. I just want to insert the clip of Violet Chachki going, I hate Michelle Visage right here at the end of Brian's I tried. Ill Michelle. Oh, goodness. All right.
So, let's Pat, who are the queens that you're rooting for?
I don't really have any just yet. I'm still too early into the season to care much. I do like Corey as the narrator of the season. I enjoyed playing Jane, so the stank of playing on Corey doesn't... Listen, don't give me that face, Eric. Plane could be on top. I mean, coming for a landing, it'd be fine. No, I honestly... I don't know why I did not mind playing Jane at all. I knew Plane was not going to win last season, but I'm fine with that. Corey, I would have had a hard time telling you who Susie was in this last episode, and I thought that was fantastic because in that rocker like section, did they actually sing? Did they write those songs? Did they sing them?
They didn't write
them.
We
know,
but I think they re-recorded them.
Okay, because normally they tell us this, and they said nothing about it until they critiqued Anya and said your voice sounded great. And I was like, did they sing these things? I don't get it. But okay, whatever. It also felt like a fever dream version of the season 4 challenge where they were selling RuPaul songs on a CD in two teams, and the classic "I told you to put on your gothic thing and that's why you won the challenge" was birthed out of that challenge on season 4, which then eventually led to the go back to Party City.
I think this was a better version of that.
It was a version of that. I don't know. I think if they were directed in some way, shape, or form, I think it would have been better overall. I think there would have been less. I don't know. It wasn't bad. I don't know which I prefer. But yeah, there was some great moments that they chose though. But no, I like Corey. I like Susie. And there isn't anybody that really has annoyed me aside from Hormona and Joella, and we're down one of them, so we'll see what happens. And honestly, Hormona coming out afterwards and being like, I prayed after seeing Susie and those devil horns and being the like weird religious one in the group just makes me not really care for her more. So we shall see what happens, but we'll reconnect and see how that all shakes out as we progress into the season. But yeah. I was going to say, should we do our top three? But I honestly struggle to remember three that I really like and want to see succeed. I will say, I do cackle every time Lexi Love says, I thought she was going to be riddled with she-devil blood about Trinity's daughter.
I thought we were going to go that whole segment with the only queen not mentioned was going to be Sam Starr.
Oh yeah, Brian, do you like or hate the Sam Starr? Is she in the Michelle Visage category?
She's not a top. She's not a top. She's not a top.
They're all bottoms.
They're all bottoms. I think she reminds me too much of Trinity, which go figure. I don't. Yeah, that's okay.
Brutal with she devil blood. that listen, that's Chrissy's niece. Leave her be.
Oh, I didn't know. I didn't know the connection. Oh, yeah. Okay. Well, I mean, I don't hate her. She's very polished. She's very polished. Very good pageant queen, you know. Yeah. I no words of hate at all. I just, you know, from a personality side. Actually, wait. Out of drag, she reminds me of Nicholas Holt. I forgot about that. So I do kind of like her more in the confession because I just pretend she's Nicholas Holt doing drag and it works for me. So. Let's go with that.
The queens that Brian likes are just the ones he wants to sleep with.
That's not what I'm saying. I don't find Nicholas Holt attractive at all.
It's him. Subject.
Now, Acacia, I would sleep with. Nicholas Holt, less so. I think I just am amused by the guy from Peter from The Great and whatever the hell the character is from Nosferatu in drag. That's all. It's my headcanon, sleep me alone.
And just a rule of thumb. I was just thinking a beast. Yeah.
It's a rule of thumb. If they add adjectives to it, they want to have sex with it. So the more adjectives you add to it, the more you generally want to be in the
Huh.
Yeah.
All right. Anywho. So drag adjacent, Traitors, season 3. And Rick. I think you're the only other one that's been watching. Are you still keeping up with it?
Yeah, I'm still watching it every week.
Oh my God. I fucking hate Boston Rob Mariano. I hate him. This is not the early 2000s. Why the fuck is he on every goddamn television show right now? Sorry, had to say that.
Else is he on?
He was on Deal or No Deal Island. He's now the host of like the Deal or No Deal Island podcast, like after show podcast. Like somehow NBC decided to get on the Boston Rob needs to be all over everything train 10 to 15 years after CBS did it with Survivor and Amazing Race and all that stuff. Then he had his own like Fix It shows and shit like that. Whatever. I can't stand the man.
Yes, I was just like, as far as him in this Traitor season, I very much dislike him. He is one of the people that I knew coming into this season once they announced the cast, and I liked him on Survivor, so I was interested to see how he would work in this. But yeah, obviously we're very anti-Rob after the whole Bob the Drag Queen fiasco.
Jesus fucking Christ.
I think he is the type of person to do very well as a traitor, though.
Yes. Yes. I think the problem with that is his history will hopefully
he's always been painted as a villain, so
yeah, makes absolutely
sense for him to be a villain. Yeah. And Carolyn is just too all over the place.
Jesus Christ. I did not like her on Survivor.
At least she's consistent because she was exactly the same way on Survivor.
She was. Yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
I haven't seen enough. I did not know this other person from Big Brother, the other traitor lady.
Danielle. Yeah. Danielle, I think she's from like season four. Like she's, I think, early Big Brother.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I have. She's acting too much. She's,
oh my God,
giving too much all over the place. And I don't watch any Housewives, so I'm not familiar with any Housewife unless Nene Leakes would somehow end up on the show.
See, Peppermint should have been her Nene Leakes Snatch Game character on the Traitors last season. And maybe she would have made it past the first banishment.
Exactly. But it's just going to be so much less interesting without Bob on there. And I think that's more so because I just don't have the connections to enough people on the cast. If it was a cast of nobodies, then at least it feel different. I don't know. I feel more pressure that because these are quote unquote celebrities that I'm supposed to be expected to know who they are. But I'll always watch the show for Alan. So that's about it.
Gotcha. Yeah, this is a messy group of traitors. Bob was great, but Bob played too hard. Yeah. Bob was very vocal. And I mean, that's just Bob, or Bob's personality from what we've gotten to see from Drag Race and from sibling rivalry and the things that they put out there. But it was very in your face, and Rob took that shot.
He
and
had
like,
to be the super alpha man. He had to be exactly the super alpha man. And Bob was too homophobia. Alpha for Rob to handle.
I'm gonna blame it on homophobia. I'm just gonna say Boston Rob is homophobic. And if we don't get hit with a slander and libel suit from the bar that Brian disparaged, we'll get one from Boston Rob's team. I mean, I'm not saying he's not, but I'm not saying he isn't as well. But I never thought in my life that I would say, Wes, please save me from this, because Wes is almost as big of a douche as Boston Rob. I would still sleep with Wes, though. it's just what it is. But
we all have that one. We all have that one star or like
one
personality that we're like, we're like
toxic straight man that we'd sleep
like
with.
Like if I saw you coming out of their hotel room and I'd be like, did you just come out of his hotel? You'd be like, no. For me, it's Guy Fieri. Like, I would absolutely wreck Guy Fieri, but if one of you guys clock me like coming out of Guy Fieri's trailer, I'd be like, oh, I just had to ask him a question about cooking. Like, I would absolutely deny it. Like after I was dead, I would write it the secret on a sheet of paper and be like, if you want to know my secret, it's in the ground with me. Like, come and get it.
And we exhume you, and it's like, I did sleep with Guy Fieri. And we're like, what? Yeah, I was like, does this just turn into like a Food Network stars that we would sleep with list? Is this our version of Ms. Mojo lists right now? The top 15 Food Network stars.
The sexiest Tyler Food Florence. Network stars. I love it.
What?
Oh, Tyler Florence for sure. Done. I love it.
Daddy Calipia.
I'm still. Oh.
Definitely.
He's not on Food Network, though, but yes. Robert Irvine, still.
That's all that matters.
Yeah, exactly. I'm still a Restaurant Impossible this ass. You know, that's... anyway. Speaking of which, I'm very sad the Tornatore's in College Park closed.
Whoa, really?
Yeah. They cited a couple of things, including the rowdy kids from Bishop Moore High School across the street as part of their downfall.
I believe it.
But, you know, it happens. But no, I think that I think this is a messy season of traders. I know Wes. We all know. Well, I love that the producers are definitely catering to the women and the faggots, because when they were talking about Sam in the turret, they cut to Sam in the shower, and they were like, if Rob says who has sus on them again, I'm going to want to jump through my television into the past when they filmed this and stab him in the eyeballs. But I love when they were like, oh, Sam doesn't. And then they just like show Sam in the shower, like just washing his perfect chest. And I was like, they know what they're doing. Zac Efron's brother, they did the same thing. The fucking one that ended up getting, or was the catalyst for Bob being kicked out. What is it?
He needs to go.
Oh, he needs to go. Yeah. I was Derek or whatever his name is. Yeah. Oh, Dylan. When Bob was like, and your brother can't act, I was like, son of a bitch. And then everybody else at the table got offended for him. Yeah. I was like, this is Zac Efron we're talking about. Not like fucking Gene Kelly. Like, it's not that serious. Round table of D-list celebrities. It'll be okay. But no, I didn't know as many people. I don't watch the Housewives or shows as well. But I do know Wes. I know of the other Big Brother guy that came in with them. I know of him. Was like,
is it Derek?
That's Derek. Yes. Yeah. But like, I don't necessarily know as many people. They kicked all the survivors off. Tony Vlachos, thank fucking God. If I had Tony Vlachos and Boston Rob on my screen every week watching the Traitors, I would. I'd jump out of my window. But anywho. But I think it's an interesting season. I am mad that Bob got voted out. I need Wes to keep going with his train of thought on what's the only way that you know 100% certain that somebody's a traitor? They are a traitor themselves. And once Rob is gone, I'll be like, I don't care who wins this season. Like, let it just be amazing. But yeah, I'm excited to continue seeing how it goes. And I was glad to see Bob thrive even for a short-ish period of time on this season.
Yeah, I was so glad he didn't get pepperminted.
Oh my gosh.
And I read an article saying that it was supposed to be not only Bob, but also Trixie, but Trixie turned it down. There was supposed to be two.
Yeah, I don't know if I'd want to see Trixie on The Traitors.
I don't think she would do well on the show.
Yeah.
Especially if they filmed last year, with last year being a very rough year for her mentally.
Yeah, for sure.
Oh my God, that video makes... of her announcing that her and her partner broke up, like, made me super sad.
Yeah, that was tough. And I didn't know that at all. I mean...
Yeah, I don't follow them that closely that I would have noticed that they hadn't. I did notice David had started posting a lot more thirsty pictures, and he slimmed down quite a bit. Like, there were some physical changes, which probably coincided with the breakup and, you know, all of that. But, you know, I don't have that type of parasocial relationship with these people. I have or had a little bit of an actual friendship with Trixie, but not to the point where I'm like texting her just, hey, what's up, girl? Like I did when I had her old phone number that she won Drag Race All-Stars. And now at least she knows who I am when I say hi and when I see her. But that's about all we've got. But no, that was tough to see. And I'm like, damn, who got possession of that ugly giant portrait that she had done for her house?
Oh,
ouch. That was tacky as fuck, but I mean, whatever, good on them. I, you know, wish them both continued success in their lives. But tangentially from one game to another, like that segue, Squid Game season 2 came out.
Did you see that Trixie and Katya did Queens That Like to Watch for Squid Game?
Yes. And there was a person in one of the mannequins, and Katya caught it like right off the fucking bat.
Oh,
yeah.
Katya was like, "There's a person."
But didn't
like,
ruin it for Trixie, and
no,
Trixie got.
I saw that came out. I haven't watched, I guess, what is part one of season 2. They didn't really advertise it that way, but I'm guessing that
it had been greenlit for season 2 and 3. So it's not a part one, part two. This is all of season 2. But
oh, okay.
Then there's going to be a season 3.
Gotcha, yeah. Gotcha. Okay, that makes sense. That makes sense. So I haven't watched the Queens Who Like to Watch yet because I want to kind of not be spoiled, but I mean, we're going to talk about it, so I'm going to hear stuff anyway. I'll probably just forget about it until I watch it anyway. So, but yeah, BJ and Eric, you guys have watched season 2 of Squid Game, correct?
Yes. I haven't watched any of it.
I was like, because you guys... Oh, no. Well, Brian's watched. BJ, yes, did you watch also?
I watched the first, I've seen the first season, and I watched, I think I'm on like, I'm in like the first episode or two. And yeah, it's giving me that same, like, I don't think I'm going to finish it just because the state my mind's currently in. The only thing I can handle right now is like 2 broke girls. Like it's the only level of dread I can handle.
Yeah. All right. So Brian and Eric, you guys have watched. So what are your thoughts? How does it stack up to season 1?
It's not going to stack up entirely because for one, it's kind of a half season. They're doing this thing where they filmed seasons 2 and 3 and it's really one long arc. So I think a lot of people early on were disappointed that it ends in a way that is, well, cliffhangery, but also kind of like, what, you know, so it's there's that, right? But overall, I think it makes good on several of the things of the storylines that the first season tried to set up and kind of explore. And they have some fairly large swerves, though not so much for the audience, more for like the players in the game. I overall have enjoyed it. I think the swerves also, I guess the one swerves that were for both, they change up the games. So, because obviously it's not just going to be the same exact games again. Like, it's kind of dumb and naive, I guess, in some ways. They'd be like, oh, no, the next game's going to be this thing. And it's like, no, it's not.
Well, I mean, if you think about the Squid Games overall, they could do the same. I mean, if it wasn't a TV show.
Because no one would know. Yeah, I guess that's fair. But I just feel like it's one of those where you just go, okay,
you think about it in world where they're doing it kind of as reality TV for these VIP figures, they wouldn't want to watch the same thing over and over.
Exactly. So
it's the same, if it's the same VIPs, but also with adding that same guy back in, then you have almost an in-world reason to change the games because you have somebody that already knows like the tricks around how to survive the game. So it would make sense in world.
I think, I think overall, the only story beats that annoy me are the ones where they're searching in the ocean for the island, because I swear to God, after maybe the first two times we saw them out on the water dealing with it, it's like, nobody cares. Like, this isn't interesting. And then finally they do something interesting because one of the characters betrays, you know, and kills somebody, and you're like, oh, he's in on it. Okay, now it's interesting. But like, they kept going back to that. And I think even the first season, that cop's storyline, even though it's important, I mean, his brother is the front man. Like, it never grabbed me, and it was never as interesting as everything else. So yeah, I don't know. I think some of the new players, the new personalities are interesting. I know the big elephant in the room, so to speak, is the inclusion of a trans character. And while I certainly would have preferred a trans actress to play the role, I understand in Asian societies, in specifically in Korea, where it's a lot more conservative even than like other Asian cultures, like, it's a big deal to have this at all. And kudos for them for finding a voice for this representation. But, you know, is it the best perfect, like, evolved trans woman storyline that we could hope for in media? Absolutely not. You know, but I'm glad it's there, because I think for a lot of people that might be some of their first exposure to a trans woman's story in a Asian show like that. So I don't know. I guess I don't have a problem with it as much as I know some of my friends had issues with it at first. So yeah, I don't know. I liked it. I really enjoyed it. The front man being kind of on the inside in the game was a really cool idea to explore. Although, you know, I would have maybe let it go a little further just to really put you on the edge. But I guess I get why they cut it sort of when they did to set up the inevitable confrontation in the third season. But I don't know, Eric, what'd you think? You liked it?
Yeah, I liked it. After the first season and they announced that they were going to continue it, I was skeptical because I thought it was a great just one season show, and there wasn't really a need to continue the story. But I feel like they've earned their second season with what they've done with it, I feel like. And there are additional stories that are worth telling through it. Yeah, I do agree that the side story of them looking for the island is getting tiresome at this point. And they definitely didn't need to go back to it as much as they did. I think all the beats were important to set up the story, but I feel like they could have gotten back to the games quicker than they did. They don't get back to the island until the third episode. I feel like they probably could have gotten back after just one episode. But I did enjoy the time they spent developing the character of the recruiter.
Oh yeah. No, and that was an interesting early story beat that surprised me that they went that way. But no, I really agree that those early episodes were really cool as far as seeing his, not his side of it, but like just see more of his world and what he does. Yeah. I really kind of want to almost know, though. Like, I like seeing kind of the backstory on the workers to understand like their motivations in being part of all this. And I'm glad we're going to keep exploring that one character who's like a minion, you know, and she's
the twist of finding out that character was not going to be a player, but was going to be a worker was a good one.
Yeah, no, I mean, it's evolved ideas from the first season for sure. I just, I know a lot of people were upset about it being a split season. And again, I'm like, it is what it is. I'm just glad there's more, but also We gotta wait till later. I like Wicked Part One. We gotta wait all a whole like 6 to 12 months. Oh darn! It's horrible, horrible. Like, how could we?
But at least it's not going to be multiple years like it was between one and two, or between other shows that.
Yeah. No, I'm joking, because honestly, we're used to waiting a lot longer for other shows to get their like Severance right now. I am like eating every crumb I can of the new season, and it took what, like almost 3 years to get from season one to season two, or 2 years or something. Like, it was like, forever. And Rings of Power is the same way. It's like, just, yeah. So this,
I think a lot of that is with the current landscape, the way they're canceling shows so quickly. A lot of these, when they greenlit shows for their initial season, I think they almost try to write them as just a single season. And then, oh, if we greenlit, then we'll come up with additional story at that point. But they don't have that planned for multiple seasons the way
they got hooks shows that they can. Yeah, no, they definitely have to be shrewd about storytelling so that they can tell a whole story in a season, but have like more material to, like, every showrunner I've read about, like, they always have more stuff they want to do and they can pitch it. But they still got to tell a story in a season. Yeah.
Yeah. Part of that's just like the money aspect of it, with like Netflix not wanting to pay out more than, two or three seasons. They don't want to, have to renegotiate a contract after a certain number of seasons or parts. That's why some shows are given the title of parts versus like a full season.
Yeah.
Well, it sounds like I have a lot to look forward to for season two of Squid Game. So I'm excited to watch it. And then I'll have to watch the Queens Like to Watch, and we'll report back, or I'll report back on my amusement of Katya and Trixie watching Squid Game season two and Trixie getting scared out of her wig. Well, we have chatted a lot. It has been a great time catching up with you guys, with the state of the world being what it is, getting to chat with friends and share laughs and finding out how much Brian hates Michelle Visage in one episode is always a treat in and of itself. But we're going to modify, refine, and kind of play with how these episodes go moving forward. But we are on the march to our 15-year anniversary, dear listeners. June marks 15 years of Flame On being in existence. So I don't know what we're going to do for it, but I feel like we should do something fun and festive and celebratory for the 15-year anniversary. So stay tuned. We'll figure out what that will be and share that with you when we know a bit more. But I appreciate you boys hopping on and sitting down and shooting the shit with me on this episode of Flame On. Reminder, we're going to be doing this at the end of every month. You'll get a new Flame On episode. Doesn't mean that we won't sometimes reconvene. I feel like Eric will want to have a conversation about Wicked a little bit more in depth than what an episode like this may be able to contain. So we may reconvene for a micro on something like that. We might have some surprise drops here and there. Maybe we'll find somebody we want to talk to and bring them on. But we appreciate you sticking with us, for the kind words, Rodolfo for sending over a lovely note for us, for all of the support. We appreciate it. Check us out online, flameonshow.com. You can send us messages or emails. Flameonshow.com has all of the ways to get in touch with us. I need to update it with our Blue Sky information and actually get that up and running. But we appreciate you all. Gentle boys, festive ladies, that's all of you that I'm talking to on this this call right now. I appreciate you chatting this evening, and until next time, flame on.
Bye.
I don't know. Trying that out. What do you think? I don't know.
You gave up on the. We'll see. You gave up on the Bobbitch.
which is fine. Honestly, it's fine. I'm glad. Something different. Something different.
Yeah. Trying out new things. We'll see what sticks. I forgot what I said at the end of the last episode. But
Excelsior.
Hey, we'll see. Bye, y'all.
Hi, Gemini. The football transfer window's open. How are my team's stats looking?
Well, your team definitely has a lot of star power.
Do you think we're going to have a good season?
It's going to come down to consistency and a little bit of luck on your side.
I'll let you know if we win.
I'll be keeping an eye on the scores.
Yeah, me too.
Now we're talking. Transfer to Google Pixel 9 with Gemini Live today. Sequences shortened. Gemini Live available for ages 18+. Internet required. Results are illustrative. Check responses for accuracy. Feature and account compatibility limitations apply.